رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين. ربي يسر ولا تعسر، وتمم بالخير، وبك نستعين يا فتح. آمين ثم آمين يا رب العالمين. In tafsir of Surah Al-Kahf, we will continue from Ayah 23 onwards, inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا تقولن لشيء إني فاعل ذلك غدا. And never say of anything, I shall do such and such thing tomorrow. Instead, what should say? إلا أن يشاء الله. Except when the saying, if Allah will. وَاذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتَ. And remember your Lord when you forget. وَقُلْ عَسَىٰ أَن يَهْدِيَنِي رَبِّي لِأَقْرَبَ مِنْ هَذَا رَشَدًا. It may be that my Lord guides me unto a nearer way of truth than this. This ayah is because of an incident which happened at that time. When Kufare Makkah asked Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam about Ashab-e Kahf, since Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam did not know anything about it, instead of not giving an answer, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, I will tell you tomorrow. He sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam thought that Jibreel alaihi salam will come and I will ask him, and then let these people know. As Jibreel alayhi salam used to come on regular basis. Or he thought Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide him in this respect. But next day Jibreel alayhi salam did not come. And few days passed like that. After few days, Jibreel alayhi salam came with the verses of Surah Al-Kahf with the instructions that إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدَى. I shall do such and such thing tomorrow. Instead say, Inshallah. If Allah wills, then we'll say this. Why? Because everything in this world happens with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This should always be kept in mind that no one knows what will happen tomorrow. If you put it off to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then your affairs will be easy. So we should always leave our affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In our culture, word inshallah is used as a shield. Some people use this word to hide their bad intentions. For example, if a man takes a loan from someone and says inshallah to get that person off his back, whom he borrowed the money from, whereas his intention in the heart is that I will see if I return. When the time comes to repay the loan, he simply says, what can I do? It is not willed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yet. This is giving the word inshallah a bad name and a bad rap. So it should be avoided. Young kids should be trained from very young age. And if they are properly trained, then inshallah they will carry this habit till their old age. One extreme I have seen in people, do not say inshallah at all. It is like they are status conscious and are allergic to Arabic language. There is another extreme that when people start studying deen, then they say inshallah multiple times in a sentence with innocence. It is not necessary. Saying one time can fulfill the purpose, and sometimes word inshallah is used where it was not even needed. Write an activity for yourself. You will assign a member of your family whom you think is sincere to you. Since you cannot do it yourself, so tell that person to note down the words when you use this word. When people start taking mic, then in the beginning, they say inshallah and mashallah many times in a sentence. Just keep it natural. Neither it should be exaggerated or not make fun of. But what should be said? The spirit of it is, inshallah, if Allah wills. We say such a big thing, see this way, we try to join Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will with what we want. What is our wish and desire? This is indeed a very big thing. Your heart should be overflowing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love by saying this, and should make a deeper connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, O Allah, help me say what is good and right. O Allah, what come out of my mouth, make it happen. Do not make me say a lie. Yes. Illa an yasha Allah. If Allah wills. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in Surah At-Takwir, Ayah 29, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ And you cannot will unless it be that Allah wills, the Lord of the Alameen, mankind, jinn and all that exists. Same way, in Surah Infitar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ لَا تَمْلِكُ نَفْسٌ لِنَفْسٍ شَيْئًا وَالْأَمْرُ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلَّهِ It will be the day when no person shall have power to do anything for another. And the decision that day will be wholly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So true, whatever happens here, is what is His will, and so will happen there what He will. We will see a couple of narrations in respect to this, inshallah. It is a narration from Sahih Bukhari and Muslim that Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Hazrat Sulaiman alaihi salam had 90 wives. In one narration, he had 100 wives, and in one, 72. He said one night that I will go to all of them. On one night, each and every one of them will conceive a child. All will do jihad in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An angel said, say inshallah. But Sulaiman alayhi salam did not say, as he might have forgotten. He went to all of his wives according to his intention, but except one wife, none conceived a child. The one wife who conceived, the baby was also of half body. Prophet ﷺ said, I swear by who has my life in his hands. If he would have said inshallah, then his intentions would have fulfilled and his desire would have been granted. And all these children would have been warriors of true path at adulthood. So do not forget to say inshallah. It was said that Prophet ﷺ did not receive wahi for 15 days. When Aap sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam forgot to say inshallah. We also learn from it that Quran was only revealed and wahi was sent down only when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted. And even Jibreel alaihi salam never used to come just because Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam desired and wanted him to come. Instead, it was all when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desired and wanted him to come. We see a person's humbleness too. A person feel that he is too small. He does not have no authority and only his Rabb has the ultimate authority. A narration by Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said about a person who takes an oath, he still has the right to say inshallah, even though a year has passed. Meaning if someone is swearing, even then he should say inshallah. And if he forgot to say inshallah in his oath, then he can say whenever he remembers, no matter how much time might have passed and case might have been gone against him. And when it is said, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتْ This is what's required. Say whenever you remember. No need to show arrogance. Admit it. Yes, I forgot. Now I will say it. And we can mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name whenever and wherever. وَقُلْ عَسَىٰ أَن يَهْدِيَنِ رَبِّي أن يهديني ربي لأقرب من هذا الرشدا. It may be that my Lord guides me unto a nearer way of truth than this. What is this sentence? It can have many meanings. For example, one can be that there might not be any other chance like this, that I forgot to say inshallah and mashallah. Second meaning could be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might help me more in unusual way than He subhanahu wa ta'ala helped Ashabi Kahf. And that is true when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam in Cave Sur during his migration to Medina as he stayed in the cave. The third meaning could be, whatever you are saying to do, you have no knowledge that in fact this is better than other. So trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, my Rabb will guide me towards what is right. Inshallah, my Rabb will not keep me in dark and will guide me towards truth. This is such a profound thing. And this is how a person establishes his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That He subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide him towards something better and more beneficial. It seems like that people of Iman always have the urge, need and want for guidance in their lives. And you see the dua Ashabi Kahf made in the beginning, وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا, and facilitate for us our affairs in the right way. Because we cannot survive even for one day without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance. And then it was said, وَلَبِثُوا فِي كَهْفِهِمْ 300 سِنِينَ. فِي كَهْفِهِمْ 300 سِنِينَ وَازْدَادُوا 9. And they stayed in their cave 300 solar years and adding 9 for lunar years. What was the truth?
قُلِ اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا لَبِثُوا.
Allah knows best how long they stayed, because
لَهُ غَيْبُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ,
with Him is the knowledge of unseen of the heavens and the earth.
أَبْصِرْ بِهِ وَأَسْمِرْ,
how clearly He sees and hears everything.
مَا لَهُمْ مِن دُونِهِ مِن وَلِيٍّ وَلَا يُشْرِكُ وَلَا يُشْرِكُ فِي حُكْمِهِ أَحَدًا.
They have no wali, helper, disposer of affairs, protector, other than Him. And He makes none to share in His decision and His rule. Now this is the last sentence in regards to Ashabi Kahf. First the issue was that how many were they? And now how long they stayed in the cave? Some said 300 years and some said 9 more years. Some people say that this was said by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but this is not true. It is very common among us that they stayed 309 years as it came in Quran. If we look at the scenario, then it does not seem right. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have said it, then why it came in ayah 26, قُلِ اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا لَبِثُ, Allah knows best how long they stayed. Now a question comes to mind, that who were they? These were the historians who wrote the history later. When they used to calculate through solar calendar, then the calculation was of 300 years. And when they used to calculate through lunar calendar, then it was calculated 309 years. Now this is the difference, that some said 300 while others added 9 with 300. And in reality, after so many centuries, this much addition is bound to happen. This is what people said, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that there is no use in grilling on such things. And just see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness. How is He? See why Ashabi Kahf left their homes. They left in the name of Tawheed. They did not involve themselves in fitnas, and they saved themselves. What is the summary of whole lesson? What is the message? That whoever gets out trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not leave him alone. and will help him. You will find many things on internet under the title Seven Sleepers. You can search if you want, but we cannot say for sure. There might be. Some things do match with whatever is written in Quran. Just Google for Seven Sleepers and whoever like history can search. Let's hear the tilawat of the ayahs.
وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ وَاذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتَ وَقُلْ عَسَى أَنْ يَهْدِيَنِ رَبِّي لِأَقْرَبَ مِنْ هَذَا رَشَدًا وَلَبِثُوا فِي كَهْفِهِمْ 300 سِنِينَ وَازْدَادُوا 9 قُلِ اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا لَبِثُوا لَهُ غَيْبُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَبْصِرْ بِهِ وَأَسْمِعْ مَا لَهُمْ مِنْ دُونِهِ مِنْ وَلِيٍّ وَلَا يُشْرِكُ فِي حُكْمِهِ أَحَدًا.
سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.